1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to finish where I was at last week. We won't be in Corinthians a whole lot though today, because there's some areas that I want to preach on that John just set it up perfect for me. And no, I don't think the Holy Spirit came to him in a vision last night or anything like that. I just think that the Word complements itself. And you know what? You can usually always find something that fits right with it when it's perfect. And that's what happens a lot of times. But 1 Corinthians chapter 1, let's read starting in verse 4. And we'll go through verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. The Word of God says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now last week, we touched on the topic of Christ being confirmed in you. And the issue that when Paul, if you see in chapter 14 and 15 of the book of Acts, he's walking through these places and setting up these assemblies, and he's teaching people about the gospel of grace. And there are many that have received gifts that were coming together in assemblies, and these gifts that they were given were supernatural. By the way, they're not in need for the day. The Word of God is made perfect. So that is gone now, but at that point, the Word of God was not completed. And so these people would come in as assemblies, and they all had different pieces of the pie, and it would edify the church and would prove those things that were right. And God would use these people, these men, to do that. And the church would become of the same faith. And Paul, you'll see in chapter 14 and 15, we read last week, to where he would go and the testimony of Jesus would be what? Confirmed, established, set. And I talked about last week how important it is that, look, as brothers and sisters in Christ, one of the most important things we can do is know that we share the same faith. Because without sharing the same faith, then we deceive others for the hope of eternity. And that was the issue. There were those in Paul's day, just as there is today, that were still following the law, that were still under the statutes that were no longer necessary for salvation. And so the issue was the message of grace. When these guys got it, when these assemblies understood it, and they understood Paul's message, we're going to notice in 1 Corinthians how they started dividing and saying, they're from so-and-so, and they're from so-and-so, and they're from so-and-so. So the same faith started dividing out. And they're being taught things that were deceiving, and therefore it hurt the hope of eternal life for others that weren't saved, wouldn't it? Here's the issue that Paul says in verse 8 that he mentions. He says, who shall also confirm you unto the end? It isn't like, hey, you're saved, good enough, I hope everything works out for you. Why? To the end. Why was it necessary that after our salvation, we understand there's a separation, not only for the hope of others, but for the hope of yourself, so that you may be blameless. Isn't that what he says? That ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the thing, whether you like it or not, you're going to be found in front of Christ one day. And you're going to be found blameless or unblameable. If you can be blameless or be blamed. Not unblamed, but you can be blamed also. For what? Well, the issue would be that if you're confirmed, that you understand the same faith, that you may be found blameless for how you live your life. By sharing the same doctrine, by not worrying about whether you're of Apollos or worrying of somebody else, or you're following this doctrine, or, well, I kind of like the way they do things here, and I kind of like the way that they do their baptism here, and I kind of like the way they speak in tongues. All these things that are going on in the world today were going on here also. And let me tell you what, if they weren't of the same faith that Paul gave, they are going to be found blamable. And that will affect not only their own edification, but the edification for others for the hope of their eternal life. And I believe that's a major issue today. You know what? I can find myself, if we're not careful, becoming a people that understand the grace of God and rejoice in the fact of what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross and be found blamable because the rest is not important. That is sick. You see people, well, we just like it over here. They just have more stuff to do. Well, we just feel more comfortable when it's a larger crowd. Sorry, that's sick. Because you're choosing what you like over the faith that you've been given to give hope for eternity for others. You know what? You will face tribulation. You will have to deal with things that you don't like as much. But the issue is that you're not found blamable in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You tell me which one's more important. It's almost like the issue we used to, when the issue was witnessing the people, we used to always talk about the people that say, well, I'm just not ready yet. When I was real religious and I wanted to walk somebody down the Romans road and bring to the, it was always, you had to, we always talked about, well, he says he's not ready yet. What if he, you know, let me tell you what. It's the same kind of conversation piece. It's as if there are some that says, well, I know the grace movement, and I know I'm saved, and I'm trusting what Christ did for my salvation, and I'm just not ready yet. That's sick. That's sad. You're more concerned with what we want to do and what we want and what we see right in our own eyes than considering what God's Word says. And that's what Paul's saying here. If you notice in verse 8, he says, who shall confirm you? You need to be established unto the end, that you may be found blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul's reading here. The issue here was clearly that the Lord Jesus wanted them established. He was using the gifts given to many for this, and today he uses the Word. There's the only difference that we could see today. Where he was using gifts, supernatural people knew what God wanted them to be established, to be edified, and today he uses the Word. So if you use anything besides the Word to share the same faith, then we're going to be found blamable. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and look at verse 8. What I want to get out of this is for us to understand, guys, if we're not responsible and we know the truth, that's all we really need to say. We know the truth, and yet we decide as a body to not be responsible for this truth that we know. That's kind of like having children, and we know we need to get their shots, and we think, well, we got our shots, right? We know we need to do it, but well, we'll just do that later. Yeah, there are people today that it's amazing that they'll get their shots and then they'll fall into a religion that won't give their kids shots. I mean, think about it. That's about what it's like saying. To know the truth and to know how we need to be and to know we get our edification and our doctrine through the Word, and it's just not important. That's insane. Instead, I've seen people today that have grasped this message, and because their kids liked it somewhere else, they have put their kids right back into the society that they were once in. That's like knowing the truth and putting yourself right back into the society to train your kids up. That's sick. That is sick. 2 Corinthians 5, I'm sorry, I'm getting on a tangent because it makes me mad. It really does. It angers me to no end. 2 Corinthians 5, 8. Apostle Paul says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. To be accepted of Him, does that mean you could be not accepted? Absolutely. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Who's he speaking to here? Those that aren't saved? Absolutely not. Speaking of those that are saved. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. So just because we're saved by the grace of God doesn't mean we just can live the way we want to. Hence, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but it's not I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. And he should manifest himself out. It doesn't matter whether other people like it. It's a matter of a call of a responsibility that you have when you recognize the grace of Christ and that he died for you and that you died so that he could live through you. We should rejoice in the fact that a holy God can live and have His being in us. And as we live, we are still yet being perfected. We don't usually look that way, but it's true. It's true. And verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done. Not Christ done in you, according to what you have done. Your responsibilities. Whether it be good or bad. It's not the issue of all those good things you've done. Whether it be good or bad. Now this isn't the conversation of being saved from hell here. He's talking to brothers. It has to do with being accepted as with the coming of the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. There is an issue here of being acceptable or unacceptable before the Lord Jesus Christ. Receiving either good or bad. And it's based off the labor of that which was done in our flesh. So there's a salvation, but after salvation there is a separation. There is a sanctification. Now that I'm this, I'm no longer that. Here's another thing. A lot of us will think of those that were in the miry clay. You always hear the stories of And there are true stories of that. I'm not making a lot of that at all. But there's another story of how I used to always be religious and how I used to always follow the law. And now, the issue is not the law. The issue is that I'm free in Christ, and yet Christ lives in me. They were dealing with legalists, and so are you today if you're not careful. But the issue is that there's a responsibility still. It's not like, well, I don't need to worry about it anymore. Go to Ephesians 1:3. And this is why he's about to say what he's going to say in Corinthians. We need to see these scriptures, and you'll understand Corinthians a lot better. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. What's the next line say? We always seem to stop in some of these places. We don't ever finish reading it. That we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And you know what? I am going to be blameless because of what Christ did at the cross. But there are things that I do in my flesh that I should not do, that we should be holy. It says here that we should be holy and without blame. That takes a conscious effort of living and filling yourself with things that are right, which are where? In other denominations? By what your preacher says? You're only going to get it through the Word. Just as they got it through supernatural gifts to edify the church to be in the same faith, we're only going to be in the same faith if we're in the Word. Philippians 1:1. Go with me there. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Similar here also to that which he that will confirm in you, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like he will confirm it in you until the day? It's that same kind of confidence. To be established, and Christ that begun this good work in you, he's going to fulfill it. So what is he going to carry through? It's the edification process in you. That's what he's going to carry through. God will continue that that's in your soul until the day of Jesus Christ, won't he? But here's the thing. We can choose to halt it and live the way we want to. That is a choice. Or we can choose to be obedient under the faith, recognizing what Christ did for us at the cross, and not being a hypocrite about it, and being of the same faith. And giving hope to those who don't understand this gospel. But you can't do it just living flippantly like, well, now I'm saved. There's a responsibility that we have. That we won't be found blamable. But that we'll be found blameless. It's kind of like having all the answers and then not caring afterwards. Taking care of yourself and not taking care of anything else. If it was to do with anything else that was physical, boy, it would just blow our minds, wouldn't it? I mentioned giving shots. Taking care of yourself and not giving shots to your kids. Or having hardly anything left and taking care of yourself and not taking care of your family. Boy, if we saw that, well, it would be outrage, wouldn't it? That's how it should be in this grace movement. The issue that we know the truth and yet we're reluctant to be faithful and to share the same faith for the hope of others that will die and go to hell and they believe they've been saved all their life. We don't need to be found blamable. We need to be found blameless, don't we? About our doctrine. About our doctrine. There's two things that I noticed and I'd mentioned early in class. There's blameless and there's also ashamed. It also says things that we should not be ashamed. Those are things that can happen. Notice Paul when he wrote to the Galatian people. Go to Galatians 4:19. In Galatians 4:19, remember what Paul says here. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice. And what's he say? For I stand in doubt of you. Now, were these people saved? Did they receive the message of grace? Was he writing brothers in Christ? But did they live it? He stands in doubt of them. And it's possible to be that way, right? Go to Philippians 1:6. I know I'm using scriptures, but I just want us to see that Paul's writing this letter to the 1 Corinthians because there were responsibilities that they had, just as there are with us, and it wasn't just in 1 Corinthians, but it's all throughout his letters. There is direction when you receive the message of grace and you count on it for your salvation. And then it's not like, whoopee, it shouldn't be that way. Philippians 1:6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet, in other words, it's necessary for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. For God is my record how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may, what's the word? Approve. That ye may approve things that are excellent. Can you approve things that are excellent today? Absolutely, through His Word. But you have to know the Word. That ye may approve things that are excellent. That ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. These are important words. To be approved. To not be an offense. Do you get it? Notice here Paul says in verse 10 that ye may prove, that ye may be sincere, that ye may be without offense. He is talking to brothers here. So after the salvation process in your life, after you have totally trusted in what Christ did at the cross, and you've counted on that for your salvation, by the way, that's what I count on for my salvation. There's nothing else that could save me but the fact of what Christ did. We know that. That's what I count on. I don't trust in anything I've done but the fact of what Christ did, and I count on that today. And I hope you do too. And if you have counted on that, same matter here, Paul is talking to brothers in Christ. There are things that need to be approved, they need to be sincere, and they need to be without offense. Well, how could you be approved and sincere and be without offense? You have to be the same faith. Because if you share things that are wrong, it's deceiving. Hence, that's why it's important for you to be in your Word. That's why it's important to be faithful. That's why it's important that as a body of believers here, that if we can make it somewhere, we ought to do it. We ought to be responsible. Don't get me wrong. There is nothing wrong if we're out. It doesn't have anything to do with your salvation. But I'm going to tell you what. It has everything to do with your separation. If you live like the world, you become just like the world. John made the perfect example. If you live near a dump and there's a stench, after a while, probably after about 30 minutes or so, you don't smell it anymore. You get used to it. That's exactly what the world will do. It's exactly what happens with your mind. If you don't fill it with the right... You can't just unload it, all the bad stuff in your life. You need to fill it. And it's got to be filled. If they may be right, then they may be not right. He is praying that they would be able to do these things. And of course, it's according to the work that he just talked about. Colossians 1:26. The Apostle Paul says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach. What's the next word? Warning. There are some things in our lives when we receive this message and this mystery and this hope of glory that we have that we count on. There is still direction. Look what he says. Warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You think doctrine was important back then? There's no way you could present every man perfect that was of the same faith in Christ Jesus if they didn't have doctrine right. You think it's not important that you assemble yourselves with believers that share the same faith, and the faith is based on God's Word and not what on, well, this is what the Baptist doctrine does, and this is what the Methodist doctrine does. This is what Church of Christ or Church of God does. Let me tell you what, the question is, what does the Word of God say? That's what's important. Not how big the crowd is. Not how many they have in this group. Or not whether they do a lot of stuff together on the outside. Which I think is a great thing too. But the issue is what's the most important thing? If it's not the Word of God, then you're in a fraternity, a club, or something else. It should be based on the Word of God. Paul not only preached the gospel, but he had a work toward those that were changed that they would know there is a perfecting process. Of course, this can only come from the Word and not from man. How do we know that? Well, I'm glad you asked. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." The purpose of the Scripture is to bring you to perfection. This is why Paul would say or ask if he had labored in vain, wouldn't it? Because what was he doing? He was bringing out the Scriptures. The Holy Spirit was writing words through Paul. He was using Paul. And that's why he would ask you, "Have I labored in vain?" It's kind of like the picture again of you knowing the truth, but not sharing it with others. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3:12. I just thought these were some great Scriptures that brings instruction and direction for our lives. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable." There's that word again. "Unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." Interesting, ain't it? You can be found unblameable. You can be found blameable again, couldn't you? Couple more. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God." Looks like there's a responsibility, huh? "So ye would abound more and more." So it wasn't so you would show off yourself. What was it for? To abound more and more, to be perfected in Christ. It isn't like you've got a rule of commandments now. It's an issue that now you're saved, that He changes your life. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. There is something new about you. The old is past. What would the old be? Self, 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 wouldn't it? Whether you were climbing the ladder of religion or whether you were trying to find power without religion, it's always, "Find me somebody that is not saved by what Christ did at the cross. I'll find you somebody that is full of pride and is as selfish as he can be, and he may be the nicest person in the world, because I was he before. It was all about me every time. Make sure that I compared myself to others." But when you're really saved and you grasp this grace, the issue is you abound more and more because of what Christ did, and you're excited for the love of others and not yourself, to the fact that even if it brings persecution, you have peace. Even if you're not popular, there's just something within you that you know is the manifestation of Christ. Does it make sense? That's a good way we can measure who we are in Christ, isn't it? Whether we would be blameable or blameless, approved or unapproved. Because that unapproved workman is a saved person. We always think of, well, he's the unsaved. Paul's writing to save people that were doctrinally messed up. And were going to be found blameable, and they were going to be found unapproved, when yet they had something that could perfect them on the inside, and that was Christ the whole time. 1 Thessalonians 4:1, "Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor." It's kind of important, isn't it? The issue is after you're saved, there is a sanctification process. Look at 1 Thessalonians 3:13. "To the end he may establish your hearts," what? Unblameable. So it was possible they could be blamed, wasn't it? It's possible today, as we live our life, that we can be, what? Blamed. We need to remind ourselves that the salvation process is the most beautiful thing in the world, but it's a beginning. We can rejoice in the fact that Christ can live in us, and we can share the same faith, and know that we can abound more and more, and love others more than ourselves, for others' hope for eternal life. If it's about you, they will not see that hope. Goes right back to 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed." If you can not be ashamed, that means what? You can be ashamed. Perfect excuse to me as being ashamed is when I have a great opportunity to share the Word of God with an individual that doesn't get it, and I can't explain it to them by using the Word. It's a good way to give your own report card. Can you take the word and share with another person who believes differently or doesn't believe at all? Can you see yourself when Christ saves you and you're at judgment and you cannot share the love of Christ with another by using the word of God? Because that's the edification process. One thing I noticed in Paul's letter, a lot of people will share their testimony today. They'll go into these churches and they'll spend an hour talking about all that they went through. And I'm sure there are people that have gone through that stuff. And then they'll share about 2 minutes of what happened to them and how they were saved. And then it's over. Every one of Paul's letters, how much do you see of how he used to live? That ain't the issue. You know what the issue is? He shares a little bit at the beginning of every one of his letters of how he has peace from God and how he was saved. Or he gives an issue of what he believes. And what's the rest about? About the process now. What's going on now. It's totally different. When he shares his testimony through his letters, it's totally different than somebody coming into a building and sharing their testimony. Isn't that amazing? We got it wrong. The issue is, what are we doing different today than we did last week and the week before that? Because it should be different. There shouldn't be a sanctification process in our life. The good news, I'm not saying that to put 100 pounds on your back. The good news is, we have it right here in the Word. So you can start today. That's a good thing that we can rejoice in. If our mind is full of other things, we've got something new. Don't let your salvation stop your confirmation. That would be sad. Don't be found blameable. Be found blameless. Don't be found ashamed. Be found unashamed. There are things that Paul gives us through his words that is this process. Now, the reason I said all that is this. Because every time I read Paul's letters, I'm finding out what they're doing wrong. If I'm not careful, that's how I kind of read it. But you know why? It wasn't that they were doing just something wrong every time. It was the issue that there is a process that this work had begun in them, and it was Christ, and he wanted to see it abound. And he loved these people to the fact that at all costs, he was going to make sure the message got out. That's why I think it's important for us to follow Paul as he followed Christ. Because the same work that was started in Paul is the very work that is in you. You have everything that he ever had. And we may not have experienced the things that he experienced, but we have everything towards the edification process that they had. And that's why he's writing this letter. He knew they got it, and he wanted to know what has happened. And in all his letters, he talks about it. So the word approved, acceptable, and unblamed. How do we become ashamed? How do we become not ashamed? Study. I don't know. I just made a question. Do you think blame will be handed out the day of judgment, seat of Christ? I don't know. Some will, I know, will not be found unblameable. It's evident there are people today that will be found that way. Some will not be found acceptable. You know what? I think we'll know it ourselves. I think we'll recognize on that day what else we could have done. Don't you think? I think we'll be clearly conscious. Don't you? Now, these are saved individuals. We'll be saved by fire. Praise God. We'll be saved by fire. Those things of our flesh, those things that will be burned up that are not part of Christ. I'm glad of that. Aren't you? But I'm not talking about salvation from hell. I'm talking about sanctification and knowing what Christ did in you and to be able to stand unblameable. I think that's something that should be excited to work towards. There's so much more of it. There's the knowledge of faith and our doctrine. And I thought about this in closing. I thought about after the plan, that you go to Genesis 1-1 and you can see from Genesis 1-1 through the Word this amazing, phenomenal plan. You can look out in the world and see moon and stars and you see trees, you can see the sun. I mean, just all these things of God in this unbelievable plan that there's no way we can explain any other way but besides knowing that there is a holy God. And he designs all this stuff. He makes a way to save us. And we think there's nothing more that's important than that. Is that not just... That's just stupid. Yeah, I just come across that. That's just... That's not even ignorance. It's just not knowing. We know. That can't be all of the plan for him just to save us. And it's la-di-da to the day come. Surely to goodness, God wouldn't have gone through what he went through all the way back at creation and come all the way through Abraham, through Isaac, through Jacob, through Israel, through Christ walking the earth, through Christ being crucified, through giving Paul this mystery of grace to save you and say, okay, that's it, let's go to McDonald's. That's just stupid. But that's how we live if we're not careful. Surely to goodness, you don't think that that's all there is. But that's how a lot of grace believers will live.
And that's sickening.
I just think there's no other word about it. Are you flippant about your salvation? And I thought, how sick are we? So how much does the doctrine that is in you produce? Is your doctrine producing falseness? Then you're to be blamed. But in the same manner, if it produces nothing, then you're to be ashamed. If it produces things that are false, you're to be blamed. If it produces nothing at all, then you're to be ashamed. And we ought to be that way. Amen? Let this doctrine, this life that is in you, this manifestation of Christ that has taken His home in you, I pray that it would manifest itself because you are in the Word, because you're faithful, and that we can be unblameable and unashamed. And you know what all that brings? It brings confidence. Not confidence in you, confidence in what Christ did, so that others can have hope of eternity.